Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Mike O'Haron loved living in East Tennessee, surrounded by the beauty of the Great Smoky Mountains. He loved riding through the mountains on his ATV or in his truck, and enjoyed exploring caves and just being in nature. East Tennessee is the perfect place for Mike. In 2008, Mike was living in Maryville, Tennessee, but he also owned property in Tallahassee, Tennessee, also known as the Happy Valley area. On the morning of Saturday, August 23rd, 2008, Mike called his adult sons around 9:30 a.m. He spoke to one of them, letting him know he was going to be stopping by to borrow the lawnmower. He wanted to head up to his Happy Valley property and mow the lawn. His son told him that he wasn't home, he was on his way home, but if his dad would beat him there, he could just load up and take it. Mike then called his other son and left a voicemail, pretty much saying the same thing. Shortly after these calls, Mike passed his son on the road as he headed towards Happy Valley with the lawnmower. Once at the property, Mike parked his truck at the end of the drive and waved to a neighbor. This neighbor also saw Mike hop on an ATV and ride off. The next day, Mike's parents stopped over, but Mike wasn't there. His truck was still in the same spot at the end of the drive, and the grass still had not been mowed, but Mike wasn't anywhere to be found. The following day, they went back to the property and noticed the same thing. They now were becoming worried. The truck hadn't moved, and there was still no sign of Mike. They would call Mike's sons, and shortly after that, Mike was reported as missing. The search for Mike was truly baffling, as there were very few clues to go on. On August 26th, Mike's ATV was found abandoned about a mile from his property, but there were no signs of Mike anywhere. Where is Michael Edwin Haron? Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing persons story. We actually first covered Mike's case back in 2021, and since then, his story has received a little bit of attention here and there in the media, likely due to the strange circumstances of his disappearance. But we wanted to come back and review Mike's case once again. Mike vanished in the wilderness, sparking debates and discussion on his case being an example of a missing 411 story. Now, I've talked about these stories before, but they are based on a series of books by David Politis examining strange disappearances in national parks and forests. Mike vanished in the Great Smoky Mountains, leaving behind few clues, making his case a prime missing 411 story. Many of those stories do focus on strange and paranormal happenings as the cause of the disappearance. Now, I don't necessarily take a stance for or against that, but here I will just be discussing the facts of the disappearance and really the real world possibilities. Let's just jump right into Mike's story. Mike Haron was born and raised in Eastern Tennessee, and he loved everything about it. He attended Lanier High School, and he was a popular football player. He grew up to become a third-generation home builder, and his family was very successful at it. Mike was good at it, too, and he was well-known for his business. Mike married, would go on to have two sons, but later he would divorce. By 2008, Mike was living in a condo in Maryville, Tennessee, but he owned property about a half hour south in the Happy Valley area. He owned many acres of land and had many, many friends and relatives in that area as well, including his parents, aunts and uncles, and cousins. By this time, his two sons were grown and were also working as contractors with his building company. Mike seemed to have everything going for him, and everyone that knew him will tell you he was happy. He was in a good place. Things were going well. The disappearance. On the morning of Saturday, August 23rd, 2008, Mike called his son around 9:30 a.m. His son answered, and they would speak for a few minutes. Mike was basically calling to say that he was going to stop by and borrow the lawnmower so he could mow the lawn up at his Happy Valley property. He did own about 100 acres, and it was said that he was also taking care of the property next door, and that was basically his plans for the weekend. His son said that he wasn't home, but he would be headed home soon. So if Mike happened to beat him there, he told his dad to just go ahead and load up the mower. Mike also then called his other son and left a voicemail, basically stating the same thing, his plans for the weekend. Nothing was out of the ordinary with either of these calls. A short time later, Mike's son was heading home and would pass Mike on the highway. Mike had the trailer hooked up with the mower on it, and he was driving south towards Happy Valley. When Mike arrived in Happy Valley, he drove by a neighbor who was outside and waved. The neighbor waved back and saw Mike park his truck and trailer at the end of the drive. Mike then got out of his truck, headed over to his ATVs, hopped on one, and rode off. Now, in the moment, all of this seemed like normal behavior. The next day, on Sunday, Mike's parents went to Mike's property to visit. The family always got together on Sunday. The family was very close, and they noticed that his truck was parked at the end of the drive. At first, they thought he must be somewhere on the property, and they decided to maybe just come back the next day. It wasn't necessarily alarming yet, but they did find it unusual that Sunday went by and they hadn't heard from Mike. They did check in with Mike's sons on the phone, and they both stated that their dad was up in Happy Valley, but they hadn't spoken to him since the previous day's early morning phone call. When his parents went back the following day, now Monday, August 25th, Mike's truck and trailer were still in the same place, and there were no signs of Mike. The yard still had not been mowed either. They took a closer look at his truck, and they noticed that his windows were down, and inside they found his wallet, his phone, and cash. It didn't seem like the way Mike would have left his truck if he was going to be gone for any length of time. They called his sons again, now, of course, getting quite worried, and they all agreed that something must be wrong. His boys drove down to check the Maryville condo and found no sign of their father there, so they headed down to Happy Valley to help search for their dad. His family also called the authorities to officially report Mike as missing. The search and investigation. Many, many people joined in on the search for Mike. He was well liked by many people, and his work as a successful home builder in the area means he had met and had known so many different people. Mike also had lots of family in the Happy Valley region, including his parents, aunts and uncles, and cousins. Everyone was concerned that perhaps Mike had become injured. He was an experienced outdoorsman, and he knew the mountains and the woods in that area well, very well. While it was possible that maybe Mike had become lost, no one really thought that was the likely cause of his disappearance. The last clue that anyone had to work with was the neighbor's sighting of Mike driving off on his ATV. It seems that no one saw him or heard from him after that. The way the truck was left also led everyone to believe that he never returned back to his vehicle after that point. To make the search even more difficult, it began raining and continued to rain for several days. If there were any footprints, they likely had been washed away from the rain. Any other possible evidence may also have been washed away. Despite the continued rain, however, hundreds of searchers, both volunteers and official searches, searched and scoured the land around Mike's property. The first clue came to detectives around noon on Tuesday, August 26th, now 3 full days from when Mike was last seen, when his ATV was discovered abandoned, in an odd way, about a mile from where his truck was left. It was about 30 yards off of Happy Valley Loop Road. It was on a steep hill. It was in high gear, and the ignition switch was left in the on position. But the ATV didn't seem damaged. It just looked like it had been literally abandoned there. There were also no footprints seen around it, but again, it had been raining for the last few days, making it possible any footprints were washed away. The search continued for days and then weeks. Helicopters were used, search dogs were utilized, drones were sent out. Teams also went out on horseback and even ATVs to cover more ground. His family knew the areas that Mike would frequent. They knew the areas he liked to go, and those areas were well searched as well. Not to mention, many people went off to search the caves, knowing that Mike also liked exploring caves. All in all, over 450 acres were searched with no signs of Mike. This just didn't make any sense. Mike didn't have any enemies that anyone knew of, and he knew those mountains like the back of his hand. Search teams continually searched through all the areas they could think of, thinking that maybe Mike had rolled his ATV or maybe he had become injured somehow and needed help. But nothing was ever found. Happy Valley, Tennessee. Interestingly, there are two areas known as Happy Valley in Tennessee. The area in which we are referring to is the Happy Valley located in Blount County, Tennessee. This Happy Valley is an unincorporated community with a population of just over 500 permanent residents. Happy Valley sits right at the northwestern edge of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, near the Abrams Creek section of the park. It is remote, it is rugged, and it is full of all the Smoky Mountain charm you'd imagine. Thick forests, mountain streams, and winding narrow roads are all throughout this area. You won't find any big commercial businesses. There's no big hotels or attractions. There's just peace and nature. It's a bit of a hidden gem, actually. The roads can be narrow and winding, especially Happy Valley Road, the area in which Mike owned property and vanished from. And while all of this makes it a beautiful and wonderful place, it is also scarcely populated, with a ton of areas that you would need to search to look for a missing person. According to crimegrade.org, Blount County ranks in the 73rd percentile for safety among U.S. counties, indicating it is safer than 73% of counties nationwide. Now, specifically, Mike's property was off of Bell Branch Road, a winding rural road that follows right along Bell Branch Creek. His ATV was found just a mile down the road off of Happy Valley Loop Road. Now, there isn't much around this whole area. A few spread out houses, there's a campground off in the distance, and there's hiking trails here and there. Other than that, it's rural. It's trees and mountains. Was Mike even in that area any longer, though? If he was, it's possible that much of that terrain was just so difficult to navigate that searchers may have missed spots here and there. There may have been spots they couldn't get to. Although everyone involved believes they scoured every inch of 450 acres looking for Mike Heron. What's interesting is the statistics of missing persons in the Great Smoky Mountains isn't really exact. There's actually been a lot of controversy about record keeping of missing persons in the national parks in the U.S. Now, the park states they perform about 100 search and rescue missions a year, but most of those people are found rather quickly. The park itself only lists 5 missing person cold cases. The case of Dennis Lloyd Martin from 1969, a 6-year-old boy who vanished during a family camping trip in Spence Field, despite an extensive search involving over 1,400 people, no trace of the little boy was ever found. His case remains one of the most haunting in the park's history. In 1976, we have the case of Teresa Trenny Gibson. Trenny was a 16-year-old high school student who vanished during a school trip near Clingman's Dome. She was last seen on the trail with her classmates, but despite searches, no clues have surfaced regarding her whereabouts. In 1981, we have the case of Thelma Pauline Melton, a 58-year-old woman from Florida who disappeared while hiking with friends in the Deep Creek area. She walked ahead on the trail and was never seen again. Despite her familiarity with the trail, she had walked it many times before. No evidence was ever found to explain her disappearance. Derek Luking was a 24-year-old man in 2012 who checked out of a hotel in Cherokee, North Carolina, and was later reported missing. His car was found at Newfound Gap, but he himself was never located. And of course, the fifth case, the case we are discussing today, the case of Michael Heron. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park warns visitors to be careful as they explore the area. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park's dense forests, unpredictable weather, and challenging terrain can pose many risks to visitors. Of course, risks and warnings are for everyone. Anyone can encounter danger or trouble or become injured. Although, remember, Mike lived in this area his whole life. He wasn't a visitor or a tourist, per se, who was unaware of the terrain and his whereabouts. He knew exactly where he was. All of this just makes his disappearance even more baffling. Theories and possibilities. There are a few main theories talked about in Mike's case, but with such little evidence to go on, we have to remember that almost anything is still possible, and we really have to keep an open mind. Let's look at the common theories in his disappearance. Accidental death in the wilderness. Mike may have suffered an accident while riding his ATV in these remote mountainous areas, possibly a fall, and then he encountered an animal or had a medical emergency. His ATV was found abandoned with the ignition still on, suggesting that he may have stopped abruptly or left in a hurry. And that entire surrounding area is rugged and remote with cliffs, dense woods, and wildlife. I mean, it seems maybe anything like that could have happened. It certainly seems plausible he could have had an accident. But there was never anything found to lead to Mike. There was no body, no clothing. No gear was ever discovered, despite extensive searches by family, dogs, volunteers, even helicopters. The ATV also had no signs of a crash or a struggle. It was simply parked, albeit in an odd manner. But there was no blood, and the ATV was in working order. It was all just so bizarre. Voluntary disappearance. Mike may have chosen to disappear, possibly due to personal reasons, mental health issues, or a plan that he had, which he didn't share with anybody else. He was alone, which would make it easier to leave unnoticed, especially in such a sparsely populated area. At Mike's property, there were no signs of a forced entry or a struggle, or even that another person had ever been there. But if this is the case, if Mike did want to disappear and start over somewhere else, why did he leave behind his wallet, his ID, his money, and his truck? This really is not typical for someone planning to vanish. His sons and his family strongly deny this theory being a possibility, citing that he had solid relationships, he seemed happy, everything seemed to be going well, there was no personal turmoil, again, at least that anyone knew about. There was also no activity on his bank accounts, social security number, or driver's license. There have also been no verified sightings. Encounter with illegal activity. This is actually a very popular theory discussed in relation to Mike's case. The area of Happy Valley does have low crime rates, but with the rural nature, there are some opportunities for illegal activities. So it's very possible that Mike had stumbled upon something, maybe such as a meth lab or a poaching operation, both of which are known to occur in these rural mountainous areas. Did he encounter this while exploring on his ATV and was harmed to keep him silent? Or had he seen something on his drive up to his property, which is why he left his truck and took off on his ATV in the first place? He wanted to go check it out. The remote Appalachian areas do have a documented history of illegal operations hidden deep in the forest. Mike was also known to be assertive and outspoken, possibly making him a threat if he witnessed something criminal. According to his sons, he might be the type of guy to speak up, not shy away from a confrontation. But again, there was no forensic evidence, such as blood or clothing or shell casings, ever found. And no one has ever come forward with any information, and no suspects have ever been publicly identified. Animal attack. Now we're in the wilderness, we're in the mountains, we're in the forests. Mike may have been attacked by a bear, a wild boar, or some other type of wildlife. That area is specifically known for black bears and very dense wilderness. Of course, there are many other wild animals living in the Great Smoky Mountains also, such as elk, bobcats, and coyotes. But wild animal attacks on humans are rare, and in those few instances it has occurred, there is typically some type of trail to follow. Either blood or clothing remnants would be left behind, or some other sign that an attack had taken place. In Mike's case, there were zero signs of an animal attack. So is it possible that Mike was attacked by a wild animal? I suppose so. But it really isn't likely. I do want to mention the fifth theory, and that is the missing 411 mystery that I mentioned earlier. Could something paranormal have happened to Mike? This topic is a rabbit hole all on its own, and if you're interested in more information, I encourage you to look into the missing 411 phenomenon, which was started by David Paulides' book series of the same name. So what do you think happened to Mike Herron? Mike is described as a Caucasian male standing 5'10" tall and weighing around 185 pounds when he was last seen in August of 2008. Mike was 51 years old. Mike has dark brown hair and hazel eyes. He also has a surgical scar on the back of his knee, a scar on his leg between the knee and thigh, a snake bite scar on one foot, an appendectomy scar on his abdomen, and he does have a tattoo on his lower back. He was last seen wearing a faded red t-shirt, khaki cargo shorts, and Teva sandals. Anyone with any information on Mike Herron is asked to contact the Blount County Sheriff's Department at 865 573-5001. If you are interested in another look at Mike Heron's story, I would recommend the Last Seen Alive podcast. They do a great job covering cases, and they did do an episode on Mike Heron. You can find Last Seen Alive on most podcast platforms. There is also the Lore Lodge channel on YouTube. He does a great job as well telling stories, and I know he covered Mike's case a while back also. I will link both of those in the notes for you to check out if you are interested. Thank you so much for listening to Mike's case today. I am hopeful his family will have answers one day, and I hope this is the year that happens. They have been waiting and wondering and missing Mike since 2008. That's far too long. Keep sharing his name, his story, and let's help bring awareness to his case. If you'd like to help his episode of our podcast reach more people, please consider giving us a 5-star rating on your podcast platform. That will help boost his story to more people. And even if the story isn't listened to, his name will rank higher in searches, leading to more awareness. If there is any news or updates, please make sure to follow us over on the socials, where we try to share anything that comes up as soon as we learn about it. You can find the Where Are They podcast on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. All of those links can be found in the show notes. If you have a case suggestion for us, you can send me an email anytime at canwefindthem@gmail.com. We welcome all suggestions and are looking for those lesser known cases that just need more attention, more exposure. You can also find a case submission option on our website at wherearethepodcast.com. All of our past episodes are there as well, and the occasional write-up of other missing person stories, stories that we have not covered on the podcast. Thank you again for tuning in to Mike's case today. We appreciate all the help we can get to make people more aware of Mike Heron and his disappearance. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons story. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.